I want to congratulate you on winning the Pell Award. It's a big thing around here.
It's a big thing around here, too. Yeah. I'm so moved by it and kind of stunned, really. Mm. It's been a wonderful thing to contemplate for the last month or so. It's really been interesting to kind of look at my life through the lens of this honor. Mm-hmm. It's been actually quite good for me, and I'm really deeply grateful.
Excellent. Well, you're in extremely good company. I mean, Viola Davis and many
yes.
more. Richard Jenkins, a lot of great people have won it. How did they?
I know it's really. Mm-hmm. I saw the list.
Right. How did you find out? Did they call you and ask you or tell you what happened?
I actually found out at first through one of my sisters, who is a professor at Bryant University in Providence. She did her PhD at Brown, and she lives in Providence. And she has a friend of hers is somehow connected to the organization. And so they had a conversation with her first.
Oh.
And then the email came to me. It was really quite wonderful.
Right.
And it was very fun for her because because she's my sister. And it's her community, and she's a huge supporter of the arts, and she's an extraordinary woman, and she loves Trinity. And so for her, for both of us, mm-hmm. it's kind of emotional, actually.
Right. Well, I'm sure you do not remember this, but I interviewed you at Bryant in 2007 when you went there to speak.
I did. Oh, my God. That's great.
And at the time,
well,
it was...
I remember that trip, uh-huh. but I don't remember each individual, because I was at Bryant and I was at Brown. I did a couple of schools
right.
on that particular trip, and it's very interesting, actually.
Right.
But anyway, well, go ahead.
Well, at the time, it was all about Battlestar Galactica.
Yes, well, to be perfectly honest, Battlestar Galactica just continues to thrive. I just did a convention in Nashville. I'm actually speaking to you from there. And Edward James Olmos and Katie Sackhoff and I came in. And I'm telling you, the show just continues to reach people. It reaches each generation, thrives again. We're on our way. Eventually, the entire cast practically is headed to Germany
wow.
to do a big panel for Battlestar. So it's funny you should say that. I was just thinking about it this morning. You know, that show was so prescient, ahead of its time, really clearly inside the pulse of what humanity was headed into. And even though we sensed that a bit as we were doing it, because we shot it post-September 11th,
mm-hmm.
we did a panel at the UN regarding its connection to all of the human rights, environment, women, reconciliation. I mean, it was all in the show, and it's fascinating to me that it seems to be, given the climate we're enduring at the moment, even more relevant.
Well, so I was a big fan. I thought it was an excellent show. And I was just having a conversation with my colleague here. Did you die before that show was over? Because I know you had cancer.
No, I did not.
You did not? Okay.
No, I did not. I died in the very last episode.
Uh-huh.
I was with Admiral Adama, and we were landing on Earth, and I looked down and I saw the Earth. I saw the animals running around. I saw it was just beautiful. And my very last words were, "So much life."
Uh-huh.
And then she left. And what's interesting about it, since you asked, you know what I mean?
Right.
I could go on and on. But since you asked, what's really fascinating about this is when I was offered the role, I met Ron Moore for a breakfast And I'd only read the pilot. And I said, this is extraordinary. I'd love to be a part of it, but I just don't know if it's a long job or a short job.
Right.
Does she last beyond the pilot? Is it 3 episodes? Is it, you know? And he said, no, she will probably, he didn't even say probably. He said, she will die at the end of the story when they finally find Earth. So in my meeting with Ron Moore, before we shot 1 minute of this show, I knew how it would end for her and that she would sustain her life until the goal was met.
Right.
So that was very exciting to know.
Right. Now, where are you now? Where are you calling? Where am I calling you? Where are you calling me?
I am currently in Nashville.
Oh, you're in Nashville. Okay. And are you doing a Battlestar event right now?
No, we did one.
Oh, you just did one. Okay. Was it a Comic-Con or a convention, something like that?
Yeah, it was. It was called Heroes Fan Fest.
Heroes Fan Fest?
Heroes. H-E-R-O-E-S.
Right. Okay, cool. And,
yeah, it was cool, actually.
Okay. I wanted to read you something that Trinity wrote when they gave you the award. It says, Mary McDonnell's extraordinary work exemplifies the artist as a socially responsible citizen. Her portrayals of strong women, from Stands with a Fist to President Roslyn to Sharon Rader, has inspired and captivated millions. Trinity Rep is thrilled to honor Ms. McDonnell's talent and impact with this year's Pell Award for Lifetime Achievement in the Arts. So do you think of yourself as a socially responsible artist?
I think I evolved into someone who, I think I already had the seed of this, but through the nurturing that I received, through all the early work I did as an actress, by the way, which probably was close to 20 plays in New York regionally that were all in some way sponsored through NEA grants. So you could safely say that the actress I became developed through interacting with socially responsible writers in environments that nurtured information, that literally nurtured information about life that was honest and a truthful mirror to what was happening. So my whole development as an actress was through, luckily, and in a sort of blessed manner, was I developed through the interactions of socially responsible plays. I was not an actress in high school. I was not an actress growing up. I didn't do musicals. I found a voice and a sense of meaning through acting in plays regionally and off-Broadway and off. You know what I'm saying? And through that process, I found what I responded to. Honestly, whatever my particular talent is does not come to life fully around material that isn't connected to story that has meaning. It just doesn't fire up.
Right.
It's not been easy.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I certainly didn't set out to have a career that evolved into characters like Laura Roslin or Sharon Rader and what have you. I didn't set out to do that, but life led me there. And so when I hear a description like that from Trinity Rep, which is an extraordinary place, I am so moved by it. Mm-hmm. I'm so moved that life took me that way. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And really, honestly, I sometimes, when I look and I listen to or I read articles about the potential draconian budget cuts that would eliminate the NEA, I just cannot bear the thought of that. Mm-hmm. It is so ridiculous to think that our society would be improved by lessening the funding for all of this. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm just an example. I'm one person whose life was redirected into social responsibility through this. So, anyway.
Do you
keep asking me these questions, and I go on.
No. Believe me, it's far better than people who say nothing. Do you seek out roles that are portray strong women that would be an example for people?
I guess I do. Mm-hmm. I used to say I didn't, to be perfectly honest. I used to say, well, I don't really seek them out. They just kind of find me and yada, yada. And there is a level at which that is the truth. Mm-hmm. But I will say that particularly lately, I've been reading a lot of material, trying to decide what I want to do next. And I'm finding that it would be very difficult for me to attach my spirit to a story that did not have a woman at least struggling nobly in whatever her circumstances are to improve.
Right. Okay.
And you know what it is? It's sort of like I'm not that attracted to drama for drama's sake. But I get very inspired by drama and or comedy inside a certain perspective that's going to give us perhaps a way out.
So you wouldn't want to play, I don't know, a heroin dealer or a serial killer.
Well, I'm not sure I'd want to play a serial killer, frankly.
Right.
Would I want to play a heroin dealer? Well, that's a whole other thing. That's addiction. And that that would be sort of how did that person end up there, and what do they try to do with that? You know, I'm not saying I wouldn't play these people. It really isn't about the role, Andy.
Right.
It's really about the story. So I would play almost anyone inside a story that allowed for illumination towards something that gives people a kind of way to reflect on whatever it is that allows us to move forward or find some kind of compassion. Or, you know, I absolutely would play one of these roles if I felt that people understanding the other through this story, people understanding someone that they judge terribly or what have you, in the writing, if the understanding of that role illuminates us, then yes, of course, it's great to play that kind of complexity. So I don't mean to mislead you. I'm just saying that really it is the story.
So a role, let's say on The Wire, which was one of my favorite shows, you might play a bad person in a good story.
I might play a bad person in a good story. Absolutely, 100%. A bad person in a good story with the right executive producers, with the right perspective, and good directors.
Right.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And it's so great that you bring up The Wire. I'm going to go back to my sister for a minute. Professor Judith McDonald has been teaching a course based on The Wire for something like, you know, decades.
Oh, I'd love to, take that course.
Oh, go. Well, you should go. It's at, you know, it's at Bryant. Just find it and go sit in doing it. Oh, it's just, this woman saw what The Wire was probably faster than most people. And The Wire has had a great influence on our society and certainly on television. It changed everything.
Right. Oh, it's really, I think, a masterpiece. It's a wonderful show.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I do, too.
Let me talk a little about Major Crimes, which you were on for a long time. And it's not unheard of, but it's still a little unusual for a character from one show, a supporting character, to become the lead on the next show and carry it off successfully. So first, why do you think that worked? How do you think that they managed to pull that off?
Well, I think a couple of things. One, James Duff, the executive producer, showrunner, creator, he had, he knew that transitioning Sharon Rader from antagonist to protagonist was going to be absolutely necessary to the success of the spinoff. So, A, he knew he had to do that because this particular audience, or any audience really, was not necessarily going to continue to flourish in the new form with a character that didn't bring some of the qualities that they so aligned with in The Closer.
Right.
Right? The leadership of Brenda Lee, whatever, even though Sharon Rader's a different person. So the fact that he knew that to begin with, it was part of the genius of this success. But also, he also knew that the way to do it was to not necessarily take away the qualities that people love to hate her for in The Closer and call her Darth Rader.
Right. Right?
We knew, you know, I begged him, please don't get rid of Darth. We'll expand her, but don't eliminate her. But he knew a way, he figured out a way to open Sharon Rader up in that transition would be through her maternity. Mm-hmm. And so the character of Rusty Beck was really the linchpin for James in terms of allowing that transition into major crimes. And it worked.
Right. Right. Yeah, I was going to point out, and you already did, that you know, Sharon Rader was not all that sympathetic a character in The Closer.
No. As a matter of fact, when they offered me the role, it's like he said, what I really need you to do is come in and give Brenda Lee a really hard time. And I said, where do I sign?
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean? It was like very fun. And I loved Sharon Rader right from the get-go. It's like, I get who this person is, and she does not care whether or not people like her. And I loved that.
Right, right. So they had to make her, they had to, in order for her to carry an entire show, they had to make her, they had to make her a little more, what's the word I'm looking for, sympathetic, empathetic perhaps.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely they did. And one of the things that happens naturally, if you take a character who's a supporting player, I mean, she was a recurring and she started out as a guest star. So we didn't know that much about her. But when you put a character in the center, you start to be able to write the expansion of the person. So they didn't know, the audience didn't know who Sharon Rader was. All they saw was Sharon Rader, Captain Rader, behaving in a certain way inside a very specific and narrow circumstance. So once you start to write a central character, you start to get to know the person inside that construct, and it expands naturally.
Right, right. So, you know, there had been a lot of, chatter about Sharon's death and how that was handled.
Yeah.
And I had read some things you had written, I think, back in January and February, when that was still fresh. What are your feelings about that now?
Well, I'm not sure what you read. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what you read?
Well, let's see. I read a piece in Entertainment Weekly. I read a thing I think you wrote for Variety.
Mo Ryan's piece.
Right.
Have my feelings changed? Is that what you're asking?
Yes. Maybe different perspective, or maybe not. I don't know.
Well, this is, you know, it was very difficult to go through that ending, and it was very difficult for some of the reasons that I think I expressed in the Variety pieces, that I don't think that James Duff, certainly I didn't, I don't think he did, we didn't quite foresee the level of anger and trauma, literally trauma that the fans experience it was so shocking. It didn't quite land in a way that I think anyone intended, to be frank.
Right.
I knew that whole season that it was going to go that way because James let me in on every step of it. It was his vision and it was an idea about, we already knew that the show was ending. And so his concept of doing this in a way, was allowing her to give the audience a way to grieve the show with the show as it was ending through her death.
Right.
That was the original, you know, idea. And you know, it got a little, what's the word? It was just deeply upsetting for people.
Mm-hmm.
But the intention was that, and I understood that. I was hoping we would be able to let the audience in on it before it happened so that it was more going through together a grief rather than being shocked into it,
mm-hmm.
but that wasn't able to happen. So that was the only part that I wished had been different, but mm-hmm. I don't, you know, I wasn't in that position. I wasn't a producer. Or I'm not the studio. I'm not the, you know.
Right.
So it was controversial. Let's say that.
Mm-hmm.
But the intention was created very sincerely by James Duff inside the knowingness that the show is coming to an end.
Right.
And yeah, so I still feel that it was. No, I don't think my feelings have changed.
Uh-huh.
I could have just said that, couldn't I?
No, that's fine. That's fine. And then there was the social media campaign where, you know, the whole business about you not being in the credits, people using yeah. their, people, you know, using your name.
Right, they changed their profile.
As
yeah.
their profile well, picture.
It was so, oh my goodness, it was so clever.
Uh-huh.
I just had to join them for a while because I got such a kick out of it because it was, so they took my name off the credits for the final episodes, which surprised all of us, frankly. And the fans were so outraged by that that they changed their social media profile icons to a photograph of my billing off the screen. So I opened my social media one day, and everything is this black screen with starring Mary McDonnell on it. Everybody's icon. And I'm like, what is going on here? I thought I'd been hacked. I didn't know what it was. And when I saw what they had done, it was just sort of a friendly, creative protest. So I joined them for a while. And you know, I don't know. It was a way to state that they wished they kept her name there.
Right.
Do you know
right.
what I mean? Or my name, her. I'm talking about me as if I'm
someone
her.
Else. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I thought it was very interesting. I really did. You know, there's so many really smart and vocal women who loved Major Crimes. So they were not going to, you know, go quietly into the night.
Uh-huh. Well, it must have been not good for your ego also to see everyone's profile was basically your name.
I'm telling you, it made me laugh so hard I finally cried. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was just so clever. It was very, very clever. And I wanted to, you know, I was in a tricky position because I knew all points of view.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood all points of view. In this instance, I just thought that was a blast.
Right. Yeah, it was. So what's next for you? Do you have projects in the works? You looking at scripts?
Right now, I am in the process of developing several things.
Uh-huh.
I'm sort of leaning into producing.
Ah.
And I've got a couple different pieces of writing that I love, can't really talk about yet,
mm-hmm.
but I'm in the process of expanding my commitment to storytelling in that direction, and I've been pitching and meeting people and just doing some really amazing work on some fantastic ideas in writing, and so that's what I'm doing, but I'm also reading scripts and looking at what I might want to do next as an actress, and I'm just not sure yet.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't seen anything that's compelling me yet to jump back in right away, and I feel very engaged in the development process as a producer, so that's where I am right now.
Right, okay. Is that a way for you to have more control over the storytelling and what stories you're involved with?
It absolutely is a way to have more control, but I would say, I wouldn't call it so much control. That sort of is, yeah, I guess that's kind of implicit right. in that, but really and truly, I think it's a way to, for me, it feels like a way back to my roots. Because again, if I go back to the theater and I go back to, for example, at the American Place Theater, NEA funded, the Women's Project run by Julia Miles, NEA funded. Thank you, Senator Pell. If you got really, truly, truly, the Women's Project of the American Place Theater in the late 70s and early 80s, I worked very closely with female writers. And they, female writers of playwrights not have a great, you know, a lot of places to really practice their work, develop their work at the time. And so Julia Miles, the great Julia Miles, started the Women's Project. And she had seen me, I believe, in Sam Shepard's Buried Child, and she just started giving me opportunity after opportunity. That's where I met Emily Mann. That's where I met Kathleen Tolan. So you just go back and say, oh, my goodness. I probably did my first reading with Wendy Wasserstein through the Women's Project. I learned acting. I learned how to act through working directly with writers who were rewriting on the spot. And so to me, being a part of the process of conversation about the writing and where it's going and what it's going to impact is part of the, it's just the joy of it. It's part of the joy of it. And so now that I'm in the position where I can choose to be part of that original impulse in the in any project, I'm going to avail myself and go back to my roots. It makes me very happy.
Right, right. What about theater? Will you do? Would you like to do more theater acting or go back to theater acting?
Of course, I would. I mean, I did a play 3 years ago in Philadelphia at the People's Light. We did a production of The Cherry Orchard. And Abigail Adams directed it, Emily Mann adapted it, and my daughter was in it, my daughter Olivia Jane Mell, and David Strathairn, who I've done a million projects with, and we had an absolutely exquisite experience, and I loved it. I hadn't been on the stage in a while. And so absolutely the right play in the right place, of course.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, I can't think of anything else. I appreciate your conversation. It's been fun. Anything I need to know?
That's
or
been
anything?
Wonderful, Andy.
Anything I need to know?
No, just I'm very grateful.
Okay.
And I'm very grateful and very looking forward to this event. I'm quite moved, and I'm very grateful to the organization, the Pell, and to Trinity for bringing me in. And also, you know, working around my crazy schedule and trusting I'll end up there. Oh, dear, my God. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, I look forward to seeing the article. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Mary. It's been a pleasure.